Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Bueller. Is anybody doing journalism in Montana? Hashtag journalism. Anybody doing journalism in Montana? I mean, look, we talked about this here yesterday on the show. Has anybody in the so-called news outlets, whether it's print, TV, have they done any news stories about a series of votes that were cast by Liberal Senator John Tester? And even if they finally do tomorrow or today or Thursday or Friday or next week, you know what they always do is they always give the Democrats several days to concoct a storyline. There's never like, oh my goodness, here's the news that just happened, i.e. news. Here's what just happened last night in the United States Senate. A, B, C, D, boom, 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 when it's a bad story about Democrats. They will concoct a fake news narrative and slap the Republicans day of, and they'll concoct this whole phony narrative and everything and make something look all controversial. But when you have actual controversial votes by Democrats like John Tester, whoosh, quiet, don't say anything about it, don't give it any attention whatsoever. And if you do finally get shamed into covering the story several days later, well, then you've given Democrats like John Tester time to concoct a phony narrative and to water the story down. It's par for the course. Happens all the time. But again, I would throw out the question because I've been doing a lot of show prep. I've been trying to read a variety of different sources. And I tell you what, it always happens. I may think I've done all the show prep you could possibly do for a show like this, and then you guys bring me something that I hadn't seen yet or I hadn't heard yet. That's the best part of this show, is getting your messages, getting your phone calls here on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. And so please send me a link. If somebody else has actually raised any of these questions and done any reporting on Liberal Senator John Tester's votes, his votes against the Lake and Riley Act, his votes in support of allowing men to invade your daughter's locker room, his votes, refusing to block these secret flights of illegal aliens where the Biden administration is flying illegals all across this country. No coverage, as far as I have seen, anywhere. But anyway, we're going to do our continued coverage here on Montana Talks. We've got such a great lineup for you here this morning. Later on in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, Stephen Miller, the prominent Trump border policy advisor, he's going to be joining us here live on Montana Talks. No, he won't be in studio, so he's not in Montana right now. I had a lot of people, hey, is he going to be in studio? No, I wish. No, he'll be on the phone lines, but he's been to Montana before. Hopefully he'll be here again, especially in 2024. That's coming up at 8:40. And get this, the legendary football coach Lou Holtz, he's going to be live with us right before Stephen Miller in the 8 o'clock hour. And then a very interesting guest, originally from Billings, Montana, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, talking about the bridge collapse. That'll be very interesting as well.
Securing America.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin hosted Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant at the Pentagon Tuesday as questions swirl about the state of the U.S.-Israeli alliance. Austin claimed that despite recent differences, the two countries maintain the same aims.
Our goal is to make Israel and the region safer and more secure.
The meeting came a day after the U.S. did not veto a U.N. Security Council resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Pentagon Deputy Press Secretary Sabrina Singh spoke Tuesday about possible Israeli action in Rafah, the final Hamas stronghold in Gaza, where more than a million people are sheltered.
Going forward with an operation in Rafah would be a mistake if those lives aren't taken into account.
The Israelis have indicated that they will move ahead with their plans even without U.S. support, leading Secretary Austin to declare,
"The United States is Israel's closest friend, and that won't change."
Kevin Wexler, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine across the area for today. Highs range from 53 in Billings to about 48 in the Bozeman area. For tonight, we can expect partly to mostly cloudy skies, low temperatures from the low to mid 30s, and the outlook for Thursday calls for developing rain showers, which could mix in with some snow early on in the Bozeman area. 49 in Bozeman to 60 in Billings. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombler.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All for Pete's sake is right. I was trying to clear through some of my emails after being on the road for a few days. My email gets a little bogged down and overwhelmed on a normal day, let alone, you know, when you're driving to Glasgow and Plentywood and Scobie and Luster and Lodgegrass and then doing a bunch of other stuff on top of that. And so my email got really bogged down. Anyway, I was checking my messages, and I just happened to see that message that just came in on the Montana Talks app from Tim in Savage. And boy, oh, for Pete's sake is right. Let's see, what did he say? I don't have the printout yet, but basically he said, oh, for Pete's sake, you know, Joe Biden has to inject himself into every story. And it's always about him, right? You know, he could be talking with a Gold Star mom that lost her son or daughter, in a combat zone to enemy fire. And, oh, yeah, my son was killed in Iraq. No, he wasn't, Joe. Why do you have to make it about you? And why do you have to lie? Why do you have to make stuff up? I mean, for Pete's sake. And now here he is. He's claiming he is trying to show how he's a man of the people. And he claimed, this was a video that went viral yesterday, he's claiming, you know, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, the bridge that was destroyed here after that cargo ship ran into it in Baltimore, Maryland. Listen to what he is now claiming.
At about 1:30, a container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware either on a train or by car.
So he said he's taken the train over the bridge. There's no train tracks on that bridge there. But there you go. Just another day in the life of Joe. Just another day in the life of Joe. As I mentioned there briefly before we hit the news and weather break, we got a very interesting guest who's going to be joining us coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of this show. Our friend Greg Franks, yesterday when we were mentioning a little bit about this story about the cargo ship, and of course the folks got a lot of questions. And especially given all the threats out there, I think folks are trying to figure out, well, hey, was this deliberate? Was this intentional? Was the cargo ship somehow hacked with a cyber hack or something to that effect? Our friend Greg Franks was listening in, and he said, hey, I got to link you up with a friend of mine, a guy by the name of Kirk Ryder. Kirk Ryder, Billings, Montana native. I guess he got an appointment to the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy, Billings Senior High grad from back in the mid-80s. But, yeah, got an appointment to the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy. And for those who don't know, the Merchant Marine Academy is, you know, much like West Point, much like the Naval Academy and the Air Force Academy, the Merchant Marine Academy is an incredible educational opportunity for young people that many of them don't know about. You know, they'll think about applying for the Naval Academy or the Air Force Academy, West Point, et cetera. But the Merchant Marine Academy is an incredible educational environment. But then, he took a commission into the U.S. Army Transportation Corps, where he commanded various logistics operations, including waterborne and overland units serving during Desert Storm. In the early 90s, he became a for-hire claims investigator, known in the industry as a marine surveyor, working throughout the Far East based out of Hong Kong. So he was hired to investigate and report to various interested parties regarding ship collisions, fires, and other ocean-going ship catastrophes. He moved back to Billings in the mid-90s. So pretty interesting. So he's got a big background in the maritime industry. I think it'll be really interesting insight to get his take on watching this video. You know, if you go to Twitter or Facebook, everybody's an expert all of a sudden on cargo ships and bridges and technology and everything. But this guy actually is an expert. And he's from Montana. So looking forward to catching up with him in about 1 hour in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. Let's see the latest, if you missed it in the Fox News updates here already this morning. The latest on the Maryland bridge collapse and the recovery effort that are underway. Here you go.
We know at least 8 people went into that water. 2 were rescued. Unfortunately, the 6 unaccounted for have now been presumed dead by the officials. No longer search and rescue. They're going to try and recover the body, those divers, back into that frigid water. It'll be dangerous for those divers as well because of the amount of the bridge pieces and currents in that water.
All right. Yeah, that's just one of the latest updates this morning. We got Nancy and Roundup on the phone lines. Nancy, I imagine you'll have some good questions. Anyway, with a minute to go before the break, what's your thoughts on this whole collision story?
Well, I'm horrified, of course, and my immediate reaction was it was Chinese hackers, cyber attack, and I'm going to lay the blame on the APT-31, which is a Chinese hacking group, and there's other 40 other different organizations that are under this APT, Chinese hacking 31 organization. As a matter of fact, the United States actually indicted a couple of Chinese for hire, hackers for hire, that are members of the APT-31. I believe this is Black Swan, and I was studying the video yesterday, and when the lights went out on the ship seemed to be deliberately steered right into the bridge. So I'm going to go with Chinese hackers, and we better all wake up because they're on their way to do us in.
Well, yeah, Nancy, you're right. There were a bunch of Chinese hackers that arrested. That's in the news via Fox Radio this morning. They're not connecting it to this story, of course, yet. And they're saying that they don't have any signs that this was deliberate. But those are all questions I want to ask our expert in 1 hour. General Flynn, you probably saw that, Nancy. He is calling this a Black Swan event.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. GOP Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene has filed a resolution to vacate the Speaker's chair. However, it is not privileged, so it does not go to the front of the legislative line. But she could make the resolution live at any time. If she does do that, the House must consider it within 2 legislative days. But since the House is now going on a 2-plus-week recess, that will not come up until at least the middle of April. House Speaker Mike Johnson controls the timing. Republicans never altered the rule allowing a solitary member to demand a vote to oust the Speaker. But if and when the House does consider Green's resolution, don't expect an automatic up-down vote, necessarily removing Johnson. The first vote would likely be a vote to table or set aside Green's resolution. Thus, the House would actually take a vote on killing Green. Plan. Former North Carolina Representative Mark Meadows introduced a similar resolution for former House Speaker John Boehner in 2015, but never made it live. However, Boehner saw the writing on the wall and quit later that autumn. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good Wednesday morning. It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network. I'm Wayne Nordblund. Well, tomorrow, USDA will release the results of its annual March planting survey. So, what should we expect in this round of reports? Well, a survey done by Dow Jones of industry analysts are expecting USDA to announce 92 million acres of corn plantings for the year. That's down from 94.6 million acres last year. It's anticipated there'll be 86.3 million acres of soybeans planted, up from 83.6 last year. And wheat plantings are expected to be 47.7 million acres for all wheat, It's actually down from 49.6 million acres last year. But with lower wheat plantings, what will the price be this year? Dr. Kim Anderson is a grain market economist with Oklahoma State University.
Well, right now I'm watching harvest prices. Pretty much all our wheat from 23, corn, beans, everything's pretty much been sold. So I'm watching harvest prices. You look at wheat right now, you know, we talk about it moving sideways. It's been moving from about $5 to $5.50, five and a quarter right now, right in the middle. But you look at the stocks to use averages, world and U.S., both right at average. So you'd think our prices would be around $5.80 for harvest delivery.
Not a great wheat price forecast by any means. Also on Thursday, USDA will release its March 1 grain stocks report. And for wheat, Dow Jones surveys expect USDA to find 1.053 billion bushels of wheat on hand as of March 1st, up 12% from a year ago and the highest March total in 3 years. Wheat prices continue to be pressured by the lowest export demand in more than 50 years.
Ranchers, Wednesday, March 27th is Peterson Grain and Cattle Company's 18th annual production sale at the ranch north of Havre, Montana, selling our 55 Angus bulls and 12 registered open yearling heifers. The goal is to produce functional, durable, fertile cattle that make the commercial cowman's life easier. Bulls that work from the Milk River to the Bear Paws and Sweetgrass Hills. Challenged by our environment, cattle refined by Mother Nature. Sale time is 1 o'clock, also carried live on Northern Livestock Video. For more information and videos, visit PetersonGrainandCattle.com.
Sale season's here again, and there are a lot of black-headed Angus bulls on the market, but not all of them are registered. Why take the risk? Don't gamble on unproven genetics. Invest wisely with registered, powered by Angus bulls. Backed by the power of the American Angus Association and 80 million data points, registered Angus bulls give you the confidence in your buying decisions. Don't buy an imposter. Look for the registration number. Buy the power. Buy registered Angus bulls.
We're turning back today looking to wild horse news, where the Bureau of Land Management has released its annual wild horse and burro population estimates, indicating a notable decrease in overpopulation on the nation's public lands. As of March 1st of this year, there were approximately 73,520 federally protected wild horses and burros, which is 9,363 fewer than the previous year. BLM Director Tracy Stone Manning emphasized the agency's commitment to managing wild horses and burros to maintain ecosystem balance. While the exact reasons for the population decline are unclear, BLM has implemented measures to address overpopulation, including removing animals from overpopulated herds and offering them for adoption. The BLM has also used fertility control vaccines in the herds as well. For more than a decade prior to 2020, wild horse and burro populations saw rapid growth with a peak of 95,000 animals in 2020. I'm Lane Northlund, Western Ag Network.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, you heard about a little bit of our guest lineup here later this morning. We got the legendary coach Lou Holtz around 8:20 this morning. We got Stephen Miller coming up 8:40 this morning. He's, of course, the incredible border policy advisor to President Donald Trump over the years, and in doing some great things based out of Washington to this day. Of course, on top of that, we're going to catch up with him at 8:40. A couple of guests joining us in the 7 o'clock hour. Taking your phone calls right now, though, 406-294-0970. Steve in Ballantyne, what's going on this morning?
Morning, Aaron. Well, I haven't heard anyone on the radio, you know, talking about on Friday. I just started laughing. On Friday, the top head story on the Billings Gazette was Tester voted not to open up the imports of beef from, what, Paraguay, or however you say it?
Paraguay, which, yeah. And everybody's on board with that. That's an easy one. Yeah,
right, yep. which is great. That is probably one of the most. But it's pretty funny that it's election year on his behalf. But yet, to protect Montana and the rest of the country, which is good. But yet, he will vote to fly the people around. He'll vote not to shut the border down. He'll vote. Look. How about the livelihood of Texas? Can you imagine trying to farm and ranch down there on that southern border? Can you imagine? And yet, that's all good. All the fentanyl coming in, you know. Let's not protect the American people from drug overdoses, from the fentanyl and the drugs coming across that border, you know. Mm-hmm. But yet, on election year, he will vote to protect the ways of Montana and the United States with the hoof and mouth and disease, which is, you know, it's great. That's the vote that he needed to do.
But anybody in that job would do that. I mean, you're making a great point
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
Like, if you're somebody in agriculture out there, oh, that's really great that he did the blah, blah, blah with the Paraguay beef. Yeah. Anybody in that position would be doing the same thing. There's going to be normal, everyday house cleaning type of stuff that anybody in that position would do and their staff would do. Whether it's casework, helping people with constituent services, you got a passport problem. Like, that is the expected part of the job, but so is securing our border and protecting this country from the invasion that's taking place. So, but again, yeah, Steve, you're making a great point here, because look at the liberal mob media that will copy and paste his press release about Paraguay, but then completely ignore everything else that's having, hoof and mouth, measles, all sorts of disease coming into this country right now, and not just because of beef imports from one country.
Right, and I pointed it out to the clerk at the store where I seen it. I just started laughing, and they look at me like, "What are you talking about?" And I go, and I got to explain it to them word for word what's going on, and it's like, how stupid can you people be? I mean, you'll pick up for Montana, the country. Not sticking up for the same type of people as your same
team. I'm Chris Foster. Federal investigators have collected the data recorder from the ship that crashed into the Key Bridge in Baltimore. Divers are looking for six bodies.
Investigations into what happened aboard the cargo ship Dolly are in progress. The Mayday call from its crew is credited with saving lives.
Yeah, if we can stop traffic. Just make sure no one's on the bridge right now.
Those six victims were part of a construction crew working on the bridge early Tuesday when the ship smashed into the bridge, destroying it.
Fox's Evan Brown. There's one big Mega Millions lottery winner, a ticket sold in New Jersey for the $1.1 billion jackpot.
It's the fifth largest prize in the history of the game. If the winner opts for the lump sum, they'd get over $537 million before taxes. The jackpot winner overcoming the odds of 1 in 302 million. There were 13 second prize winners, each winning $1 million.
Fox's Chris DeMeo, America's listening to Fox News.
No, that was, I tell you what, that was a great point there by Stephen Valentine. And really just, I mean, that he brought up a perfect analogy of the point that I was making earlier, where here you've got the media, so many in the media, they'll copy and paste press releases. This is not journalism. Now, I do commentary. These people will call themselves journalists all day and claim, I do news. Well, we just do news. No, you don't. You're copying, pasting this stuff coming out of a politician like John Tester on an issue that, like, okay, well, good for you. Good for you on Paraguay. What about every other South American, Central American, Middle Eastern country that is flooding this country with terrorists and with disease and with rapists and with murderers? What are you going to do about that, John? Oh, we know what he did about that. He voted in a series of votes late Friday night, early into Saturday morning, to continue flying illegal aliens all over this country. He voted against the Lake and Riley Act. He voted for men to be in your daughter's locker room. And if you're a man out there and you don't have a problem with that, do you have kids? Do you have? Seriously. I mean, for Pete's sake. And look, did the same fake news media that copies and pastes a press release from this guy about, well, look at what it did on Paraguay. Well, whoop-de-doo. Everybody else was on board with that, too. What have you done about every other country invading this country with, like Steve was pointing out, with some diseases that we basically eradicated in this country that are now back in places like Chicago, where they're warning people to get vaccinated and not for that freaking COVID-19
emergency use stuff, but like actual stuff, vaccines that we've had for decades for things that are that actually are a serious threat to kids. Things like the measles and other, and it's just like, man, but he isn't doing squat about that. In fact, he's continuing the invasion. He's continuing to support all of this stuff that is threatening this country right now. And they let him off the hook. They don't even talk about it. They don't even write about it. It's because just like this whole NBC News Ronna McDaniel story is reminding us, these people are in the tank for the Democrat Party. They are an arm of the Democrat Party. They're not journalists. They're not doing news. They are a propaganda arm of the Democrat Party. And if you're somebody who works for these outfits and you don't, serve as an arm of the Democrat Party, well, they'll quickly find a way to usher you out. And you will find, I remember there was a reporter in Helena who got kicked to the curb a few years ago because he was asking some questions about Democrats that they didn't want to be asked. And so anyway, it's just fake news, whether it's NBC, national news. What did Ronna McDaniel last like, 24 hours there? Anyway, we'll get to that story much more right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
People lie about their age, and to list the reasons why would take quite a few sheets of paper. Maybe they want to get a lower price at Disney World. Perhaps they want to raise their social status or to look more attractive for prospective mates. Who knows? But the fuzziness of self-reported age data in aggregate turns out to have implications for public health research. A recent research report noted something remarkable about this problem. Spanning the globe, there have always been individual cities and regions that have a large number of centenarians, those aged 100 or more, which has spurred efforts to discover why, in some countries and regions, there are those who live living longer, more vibrant lives than the rest of us. A new report discovered something a bit more fundamental, because almost all these super centenarian areas happen to be places where official birth records didn't exist when these long-lived folks were born. And so when procedures changed to replace self-reported with actual birth records, those places didn't look so remarkable anymore. I'm Patrick Burke.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let's see, we got some messages that came in on our Montana Talks app. Monty in Roundup sent us this a little bit earlier in the hour. Sorry for just now getting to it, Monty. If a Singapore flag ship ran into that bridge, why doesn't Singapore pay to replace the bridge? Or I'm sure that ship has insurance. Why is it taxpayers that are going to have to pay to rebuild that bridge? That's a good question there, Monty. Does Joe Biden want me to pay for that bridge? I don't want to pay for that bridge. Sounds like that's what's going to happen here, Monty. Great questions there. Thanks for that message. Let's see. I told you about Tim and Savage. Yeah, now Brandon rode the train across that bridge many times, except there weren't rail lines on that bridge. He just has to immerse himself into every story. Tim and Savage also messaged us with this. I wonder when Biden will tell us about how he played basketball with Caitlin Clark and how he taught her how to play ball. And he passed her the ball before she made the shot to become the D1 scoring leader. It wouldn't surprise us at all, would it, Tim? Caitlin Clark, for those who don't know, plays for what? It's Iowa, right? And I just saw a story yesterday that she is the most recognizable name in all of college basketball. And so there you go. So the most recognizable name in college basketball is a woman. So that's a pretty cool story there also. All right, let's see. Before I get to this NBC News Ronna McDaniel story and much more, let's sneak in another quick caller. We've got Tom in Billings on the phone lines. Tom, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
My first and foremost is, where does it state in the Constitution that we have to take care of every single country that needs money. John Tester votes to fly these people in here. You know, Montana's not a sanctuary state. The governor took care of that. I don't know. They're not bringing them to Montana. And I really want to know is if I go up to Big Sandy and go to a basketball game, can I use the women's locker room to, you know, take care of myself?
Well, you could try that, but John Tester's neighbors might have a thing. John Tester may support the dude being in the girls' locker room, but his neighbors sure would not. His neighbors would handle that business, even if John Tester would support that kind of business, right? No, great questions there, Tom. Thanks for calling in again this morning. Yeah, you know what we should... We're doing this statewide tour. We should go do an event from Big Sandy. We should go to a restaurant or a cafe or a bar or something in Big Sandy for these events we've been doing around the state. That'd be a good time. I've talked with a number of his neighbors, and, oh, man, they're just shaking their heads, He just completely sold this state out. Tom, thanks for the call. Oh, and back to that point that Stephen Ballantyne made, which ties in with what Tom was calling in about there as well. So here's Tester. I voted to block beef from Paraguay. Well, good for you. You know, if our producer Travis Lee was the United States Senator from Montana, he probably would have voted the same way. If Tom in Billings was the senator, he would have voted to do the same. Yeah, like, give us a break, man. Oh, look at you. Wow, aren't you a big deal? In fact, Senator Steve Daines sent out a press release last week as well. I don't know if the Billings Gazette picked up his. They probably included a comment from him as well. But Senator Daines voted to block the Biden administration from allowing beef imports from Paraguay. So there you go. I mean, Senator Daines did the same thing. Tim Sheehy, as a Republican senator from Montana, would do the same thing there, too. So in other words, you know, we don't need to let beef from Paraguay be the deciding factor in this election because no matter who the senator is from Montana, that's going to be taken care of. But John Tester is the reason we have all this inflation, the reason we have all these open borders and everything else. So such a great point from Stephen Ballantyne. All right, let's get you a scene setter here first. For those of you who haven't been following this story, Ronna McDaniel, you know, she recently stepped down as chair of the Republican National Committee. And then she got a paid contributor gig for NBC News. Well, that didn't last long.
Fox News Digital obtained an internal memo from NBC Universal News Group Chairman Cesar Conde to staff apologizing for hiring McDaniel in the first place. Conde wrote, quote, "While this was a collective recommendation by some members of our leadership team, I approved it and take full responsibility for it. Our initial decision was made because of our deep commitment to presenting our audiences with a wide, diverse set of viewpoints and experiences, particularly during these consequential times." A person close to McDaniel, though, tells Fox News that McDaniel found out about the termination through media reports and that she hasn't heard from NBC.
So basically, you've got the inmates running the asylum at NBC News. So NBC News executives wanted Ron McDaniel to be a paid contributor, providing regular commentary for them. But Rachel Maddow, or I overheard our friend Paul Mushaven while I was walking past their studio with a cup of coffee. They called her Rachel Madcow. So Rachel Maddow and Joy Reid, basically all these people who have lied repeatedly on the NBC airwaves, are calling Ronna McDaniel a liar. And they were the ones, the NBC on-air hosts, And these, you know, so-called journalists, these fake news people like Chuck Todd on Meet, you know, he's not even on Meet the Press anymore. He got embarrassed off of Meet the Press, but he was one of the people complaining about Ronna McDaniel. I think this is the montage that gives you a taste for just some of the absurd whining that was coming out of these MSNBC folks.
You wouldn't hire a made man like a mobster to work at a DA's office, right?
That is capitulating to an autocrat in advance by saying, yes, we will take your apparatchik and allow them to be elevated and platformed with us. with journalists.
But we've also said to election deniers, is not just they can do that on our airwaves, but that they can do that as one of us, as badge-carrying employees of NBC News, as paid contributors to our sacred airwaves.
Our sacred airwaves. Did you hear that? That was one of the MSNBC anchors. I forget what her name is. It wasn't Joy, the racist Joy Reid. It wasn't Rachel Maddow or Rachel Madcow, as Paul called her. I forget this gal's name. But the sacred airwaves of NBC, of MSNBC, really? These people that hold nothing sacred. These people that don't think that a women's restroom is sacred enough to keep men out of the women's restroom, they think NBC News is sacred. These people who cheerleaded shutting down churches but keeping Planned Parenthood abortion mills up and running or strip clubs up and running, they think NBC News is sacred. These people who lied about Russia, 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 these people who lied about Hunter Biden's laptop, these people who have lied about everything, they think their airwaves are sacred. Trace Gallagher, Fox News at Night, had a great rundown during his Common Sense segment.
Well, the Fox News at Night Common Sense Department says when it comes to MSNBC, you can forget about network executives. The on-air personalities run the place. They certainly ran Ronna McDaniel out the door, saying that Ronna isn't honest. Jen Psaki was irate over comparisons between her and Ronna McDaniel's political backgrounds, with Psaki saying it's about truth versus lies. Common sense assumes when Psaki says truth that she means herself. The very same Jen Psaki who stood at the White House podium and told untruths about everything from COVID to oil rights to border security. Now might be a good time to remind you that MSNBC, the network of truth, told us Trump was a Russian agent. Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation, and Michael Brown was murdered. And Chuck Todd has the nerve to say Ronna McDaniel has credibility issues? Joy Reid got caught posting bigoted statements on social media and blamed hackers. After former CIA Director John Brennan lied to Congress, naturally, MSNBC hired him. If Adam Schiff retired from Congress tomorrow, they'd hire him too. Not because he lied, but because he lied about the right people, those on the right. Ronna didn't get pushed out for not being honest. She got pushed out for not being a Democrat.
All right. Well said there by Trace Gallagher. Hugh Hewitt was on, or radio host Hugh Hewitt was on Special Report with Brett Baer and others yesterday during their panel. He said that Ronna McDaniel is going to sue the pants off of every one of those folks.
Well, Ronna is a friend, and I did work for NBC, and in November I worked with Caesar and Rebecca and the whole team. I've never seen anything this brutal since I got started in the media in 1990. Ronna is going to sue everyone who defamed her for breach of contract, for intentional infliction of mental distress. They are going to sue for the destruction of her business opportunities that come from being on TV. I think they made a terrible decision, and they allowed the MSNBC bleed to take over their network, and the cult has taken over the news division, and it's going to hurt the 74 million people who voted for Donald Trump are not going to watch NBC News.
Concha had some good one-liners as well. Maybe we'll get to that next. You tell us.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
It is fascinating to watch that the people attacking Robert F. Kennedy Jr. the most, Democrats. Let me tell you where that's coming from. That is a clear indication that polling is showing that most people rightly see Kennedy as a liberal Democrat. Okay, there's a couple of positions that maybe are unique being a liberal Democrat in this environment, but he's part of the climate alarmist religious cult. He's got far left positions on pretty much everything. He voted for every left wing radical for president in the modern era. I mean, what else do you need to know? I mean, his own family is mad because they think it's going to hurt Joe Biden.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Attention business owners, are you tired of seeing your hard-earned profits vanish into thin air due to hefty credit card processing fees? It's time for a change. 247payments.com has a software solution that eliminates your fees, offering you unlimited processing for just $49 a month. Ready to keep more of what you earn? Call us at 1-844-535-0385. That's 1-844-535-0385. Call now.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Physical cash is becoming less relevant as many Americans are going the digital route. But it's a good idea to have a reasonable amount of cash stashed at home in case of emergencies. Elliot Pepper, a financial planner and co-founder of Northbrook Financial, says that a small but reasonable amount of cash should be kept on hand at all times to provide protection in an extremely adverse scenario. You might think about having an amount enough to cover the absolute bare necessities for 2 months. Bare necessities include a minimum housing payment, food staples, batteries, water, gas, and basic living needs. The most recent survey from the Bureau of Labor Statistics reports that the average monthly cost for food and gas alone is slightly less than a grand. That could serve as a baseline for how much to keep in cash, which would also vary depending on the size of your household, cost of living for your area, and whether you want to include other expenses in cash savings. Saving you money.
Paid for by Troy Downing for Congress. Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend. Studio. Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, when it comes to Ronna McDaniel, though, signing a deal with NBC News, I mean, you're going to cut a deal with the devil. Let's be honest. Look at the joke that NBC News has become. I mean, it used to be that, you know, MSNBC was the joke, but NBC News itself still tried to pretend to do serious journalism. And now there is no wall. There is no separation. There is no line. And MSNBC is a joke. NBC is a joke. That's just straight up how it is right now. So you know what? It reminds me of my good friend Stan Ullman. He worked for Senator Conrad Burns back in the day. And, and he just had these great one-liners. And, you know, Ronna McDaniel and what did she even last 24 hours with this whole NBC News deal? And then they axed her contract here. Stan had this great one-liner. If you're going to play in the toilet bowl, don't be surprised when you get Adam Schiff on your hands. And you know what word he actually used in that one. And so here you go. She decided to play in the NBC News toilet bowl and got Adam Schiff on her hands with this one. Joe Concha, here you go.
The sun came up this morning, Todd. And when the sun came up, democracy was still alive and well over 30 Rock, which should be called 30 Arkham Asylum at this point. Amazing, but not surprising, that Ronna McDaniel lasted less than one Scaramucci at a news network that claims to be the champion of diversity.
Oh, yeah. No, anyway, that 30 Rock is now 30 Arkham Asylum. Great line. There's more where that came from Concha. Maybe we'll share that with you here in the 7 o'clock hour of the program. But first, we're just about out of time this hour of the show. Couple minutes to go. Let's go to Tim in Savage. Tim, great to hear from you.
Hey, I'm actually calling from Meagher County, and my friend from Haver yesterday. I mean, just because he doesn't eat Gene's pizza doesn't mean that he doesn't. I lost my place. Yeah, Tim Sheehy, bad.
Wasn't that funny? I mean, I just had a suspicion on that one. And you know, if I was wrong, because I was trying to be nice about it, but if I was wrong that he wasn't a seminar caller, I would have gotten a nasty email or a phone call afterwards. I didn't hear anything after I called out the seminar caller yesterday on the show.
Well, and even somebody who's familiar with it should at least try to stumble the way he was saying of Livka or something like that. But, But you got to give credit. I don't mind a good Domino's pizza out of Haver either. And so, you know, that wasn't a horrible answer. But, yeah, you nailed sniffing that dude out there. But I just don't understand. What is the point? What are they trying to just to score points at on 7 o'clock in the morning on a local talk show. What was he trying to accomplish?
It was just so sad. Yeah, there was. So I saw. I had an Axios Media headline in front of me. And that's the only place that this storyline had been trotted out by the Democrats. And, for those who missed it, go back and listen to the 7 o'clock hour of the Montana Talks podcast from yesterday, and you'll know exactly what we're talking about. But, yeah, basically you had a Democrat caller trying to plant a storyline. The Democrats are so desperate to get a narrative right now that they're trying to take a D.C. insider story and make it a Montana story. But they needed a way to give it some traction, and so they thought, oh, let's plant a caller on Aaron's show and see what we can get out of it. And it was just so obvious.
And it was such a lame attempt anyway. And I mean, it just shows how desperate that they're getting. And I mean, I pulled up a video on YouTube yesterday for something, and I see Seven Fingers. He's advertising on YouTube. I hate those YouTube ads, but there it is. 15 seconds of him telling us what he's done great for Montana the last 5.5 years. So. Now he cares about Montana again for the next 6 months. It really gets sad. But the even sadder, though, is that it works and that it is a strategy
for some people
that has continued to work. And it has fooled people. And hopefully we can counter that and not let them get back in.
Well said. Tim and Savage, great to hear from you. Sorry we got a...